Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12. I had told Brother Ken yesterday I had two messages really burning on me. One of them has to do with Christian home, which I'll be preaching from this morning. I think that's the one the Lord would have me to preach. But I've got another message that God's laid on my heart about climate change and culture change and what these two things have to do with Christ's coming. And so I'm looking forward to preaching that one day. But this morning, though, in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, we'll read a few verses. We'll back up to chapter number 11. Verse number 9, the Bible says this: "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." Chapter 12. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Would y'all pray with me? Father, we love you this morning. Thank you, dear God, for the privilege of being in the house of God. Lord, I stand before you a needy man today, Lord. I pray today, God, that you'd give me unction, Lord. God of all things, Lord, that you'd have said today, God. Put a watch over my lips, I pray, O God. Now, I want to exalt you this morning, Lord. And I want the Word of God to go out, Lord, and accomplish that you sent it for. And I thank you, God, for speaking to my heart, O Lord, and helping me, God, with this, Lord, that you've laid upon my heart, God. Bless now, Lord, we pray, and God will give you glory for all you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated this morning. This passage of Scripture right here that I just read, it's pretty well known that King Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and all through the book of Ecclesiastes, we see that Solomon, he was a great king. He prospered in everything that he put his hand to. He had great possessions, and he was very popular. But you know, King Solomon wanted us to see that all these things of earthly things are vanity. And what he comes to, the conclusion over here in this verses that I just read, just to give you a brief summary of it, and then I'll give you my thought this morning out of one of these verses right here. He says a young man, just to paraphrase, kind of is foolish in his ways a lot of times in his youth. And then an old man, it's just a short space of time between being young and being old. And he describes some of the things about an older person right here. And it comes down to the end of one's life. He says these words right here in verse number 5 that I want to draw a text from this morning. He says, "Man goeth to his long home, Man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. He says, or ever the silver cord be loose, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. What he's describing right here is when we leave this life. He said it could be real sudden, but it's definitely real sure that every one of us are going to leave this world one of these days. It doesn't matter how much you prosper in this life, how many possessions you've got, how popular you are. It all matters when it comes time to meet God. He said, man goeth to his long home. He didn't say man goes to heaven or man goes to hell, because that choice is up to you and up to me. That decision will be made by each one of us as we journey through this life where we spend eternity. It's not God's decision, it's man's decision. And when God begins to speak and draw a lost person to Him, they have a decision to make that will determine where they spend eternity. He says then, dust is going to return to the earth as it was, and the spirit is going to return to God who gave it. Now here's what I want to preach on this morning. My thoughts as I read this verse, because man goeth to his long home, I got to thinking about home, and how important a home is here upon earth. And not just any home, I'm speaking particularly about the Christian home. A Christian home, for a child to be raised in a Christian home is so essential in the day in which we live. We live in a day when times are perilous. And wickedness in this world seems like it's just evolved into something worse day by day. And it's so essential for parents, if you've been blessed with children, to raise them in a Christian home. And to help give them a foundation of faith that they could call upon God one day, hear the Word of God, and know the Word of God, and know that they're going to spend eternity somewhere one day. And I thank all the parents today for being faithful to bring your children to the house of God. You won't have any regrets for that, I promise you. Because one day, you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account for how you raised your children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. They are gifts from God to you. And you better be careful what you do with God's gift as you go through this life right here. Because God is going to hold you accountable. Now, I want to preach on the importance of a Christian home. You know, a home is it's a place of residence, a place where you live, a place where you have family. It's a place where you gather at the end of a day, a work day, and it's a very important thing in the eyes of God. I believe that. You know, we face a lot of challenges as we go through life and a lot of stress, and it's a good thing to have a home that's filled with love and compassion and help one for another, support one another. You know, sometimes, mama, you'll have a bad day, or daddy, you'll have a bad day, and it's time we lift each other up. Maybe your kids are having a bad day in school or something, and it's a place where we need to have encouragement for one another. Amen? And you just can't do better than a Christian home. Amen. If Christ is the focal and center point of a home, then that's a great blessing to have, a great place to grow up and to raise a family. A home is a place where memories are made. Probably everybody in here can think back to when you was a child growing up at home, and you have memories of things that, you know, maybe your parents did, or places you went, or maybe it's growing up in Sunday school or going to church. There's so many memories made in the home. And God help us that our children would have good memories. Amen? They need a good home to grow up in today and in the day and hour in which we live. And I challenge you this morning that if you're not saved today and you've got children, you need to be saved. You need to be raising your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And it's up to you parents to see that they have that. And now a Christian home also, let me just throw this in at you right here. A Christian home should always be connected to a church home. Amen. God, He says in Hebrews 10:25, to forsake not the assembling of yourselves. So God expects His children to be faithful to the house of God. You hear what I'm saying? God expects a child of God to be faithful to the house of God. This is a place where we grow together in Christ. And we love one another. We cry together. We laugh together. We pray for one another. We bear one another's burdens. We come together and we worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Church is a very special place. It's been the best place in my life since I got saved. Amen. I'm glad I got a church family this morning that I can come together with, and I look forward to being in church. I look forward to seeing y'all's faces at the house of God and where we can just enjoy the things of God together for a little while. It's a blessing, isn't it? It's good to be saved this morning. But I want us to look at a few things this morning about the Christian home. First of all, I want you to notice the entrance of the Christian home in this world. Look back in the book of Genesis with me. In the book of Genesis, all the way back in chapter number 1. I want you to notice some things that God did right here in Genesis chapter number 1. The entrance of the Christian home. And why do I call Adam and Eve's home a Christian home? Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost orchestrated it. They put it together. They made it. And Adam and Eve, when God first created them, they were in a perfect atmosphere, a perfect place. So this origin of the home. Let's look at this in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them," notice that, plural, "have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He him. Male and female. This origin of the home right here, it wasn't made up of male and male or female and female. It was made up of male and female, a man and a woman. That's how God originated it. That's how God orchestrated it. And that's the only kind of home you can really have that God approves of. Amen. We live in a day of great perversion, don't we? Man has tried to pervert the Word of God. Man's wicked. Man's wicked. We've got a government today, we've got courts today that have sanctioned same-sex marriage. And they'll come after us one of these days for preaching against it. But I'm going to stand on the Word of God. That's all I got to stand on today. This is a solid foundation. It'll stand when this world's on fire. And so I'm glad I've got a Bible this morning that tells me about the origin or the entrance of the Christian home into this old world. Let's go a little further right here in Genesis chapter number 2 right here. The Lord gives a more detailed look at the creation of man and the first creation of a home. In verse number 7 of chapter number 2, He says this, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." A living soul. Man didn't come from a monkey. Listen to me, children. You didn't evolve from a monkey. God created man. It didn't take God a million years to evolve man up into what he is today. Man didn't come from a monkey. Ain't that crazy? Couldn't the devil have thought of something a little bit better and more believable than that? That's the craziest thing I ever heard of, to believe we evolved from a monkey. God formed man from the dust of the ground. When he created everything else, He spoke it into existence. But when God created man, I believe He reached down and He got a clump of dust out of the ground, a clump of dirt, and He formed man with His own hands. And He was so pleased with what He'd done, He breathed into His nostrils the breath of life. Man becomes a living soul. And a living soul, I'm talking about, that's going to live somewhere for all eternity. In Ezekiel 18 and 4, the Bible says this, "All souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die." Not a die of non-existence. He's talking about an eternal dying. So it lets me know that man has a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. Either eternal life or eternal death. But let's move on just a little bit further right here. As God has formed man right here. Let's look at verse number 15. God creates a garden of Eden. Verse 15, the Bible says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Let me give you a little something right here. When God created Adam, God could have gave Adam everything he needed. Adam could have just kicked back in the recliner, and God could have waited on him and just handed him everything that he needed. But you know what? God wasn't a socialist. God was a capitalist. He gave Adam a job. And I still believe in work. I still believe in the Bible principle, if a man won't work, neither should he eat. Amen. If we'd apply that principle in America today, it wouldn't be so much idleness in the streets. Wouldn't be so much crime in the streets. Man'd be too busy working to go out and do some of the things that's going on today. Boy, that'll preach right there. Man needs a job. Man don't need to be idle. The idle mind's the devil's workshop, isn't it? All right, let's move on a little further right here. Now, God had created man. God had put him in the Garden of Eden, and He gave him a job to do. Notice this in verse number 18. "And the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him an helpmeet for him, a bride. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought him unto Adam to see what he would call him. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." Adam was a very intelligent person. Can you imagine, as God brought two by two animals before him, Adam named every one of them. And he had a big job to do right here. "And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him." Adam. The thousands of animals and creatures that came before Adam. Adam was alone there with God. Adam saw male and female of all animals and creatures come before him. Adam gave them names. And God saw that Adam needed a helpmeet. God saw that Adam needed a mate. And so look what God does right here. I'm talking about the origin right here of the Christian home. The Bible says this, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." Notice this right here. God, this is a type, there's a picture of the death of Christ in this verse right here. At this deep sleep that God put upon Adam right here, it's a type of death. As God reached into Adam, took a rib out, and he formed woman from Adam's side. It's a picture of the obtaining of a bride, and Christ died that he could have a bride. But this deep sleep right here that God caused Adam to fall in. Can you imagine that Adam, I believe God looked at Adam and he saw a loneliness in Adam there. And he needed a helpmeet. He needed a bride. And so God caused this deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And God took that rib and God formed Adam, a bride. And can you imagine that as Adam slept there, I kind of picture in my mind, maybe God took that beautiful bride that he made for Adam, and maybe he placed her hand in his hand there just before he woke him up. And I think when Adam looked at Eve there, I think he saw the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. And I believe he was I believe he was overwhelmed. I believe when Adam woke up, he looked up. I believe he looked up and saw her. Maybe he said, "Wow." I believe he said, "Whoa, whoa, woman. And amen. I believe it was a wow moment for him. Yeah, and you remember the first time you saw your wife? It was a wow moment, wasn't it? I remember the first time I saw my wife. I was in the ninth grade. She was in the seventh grade. And my dad had a restaurant here in Bowden. And I was in charge of the mop. One day I look at the door there, and here comes Sheila and two more girls in that door. And I thought, wow. And I told my sister, she was waiting table. I said, I better handle this one. And so I got my little pad and went and took her order. She wanted a hamburger. And so I even took charge of the cooking. I went back there, and I didn't make a quarter pounder. I made her a half pounder. And I didn't even know her name, but man, I couldn't get over her. You know, it just wowed me. And for 2 years after that, I didn't even know who she was, but I met her in high school, and dated through high school. Wound up getting married, and we got a child sitting over here, the name of Jamie, and. He'll be grown before you know it. We're still working on him. But this was a special day in the life of Adam when God gave him a bride. And God was involved in this first home, this first Christian home. The origin of the home. God originated this first home. And I'm glad God's still putting homes together today. God's still in the blessing of home business. But notice this, not only the origin of, but look at the oneness of the home. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. That's a picture of the oneness. A man and a woman becoming one flesh. Impossible for a man and a man. Impossible for a woman and a woman. Amen, everybody. Amen. We're going to have to take a stand. Amen. This world system today wants you kids. They want you kids to compromise and believe the junk that they're trying to force upon them. God ain't in the transgender business. Not at all. That's confusion. Confusion is of the devil. And there's a lot of folks confused today. There's a lot of folks that's compromising in the day in which we live. But I ain't compromising on this Bible right here. I'm going to stand on it. If I have to go to jail, I'm still going to stand on the Word of God because God, He's right and the world's wrong. So listen, the origin of this Christian home, the oneness of, but the opportunity of. Back in Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 27, God created man in His own image. And the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. And God, notice this, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, the opportunity I'm talking about right here. He said, be fruitful. God blessed. God blesses Christian homes. God blesses Christian people. And God wants us to replenish the earth with Christian children. Amen. So God blessed Adam and Eve right here, and he gave them an opportunity to have children and to have a godly home, a Christian home, to replenish the earth with godly children. And, you know, children, they're looking for an example. They're looking for leadership. And they're in a learning period as they grow up. And so, be an example to them. Live a godly life before them. Replenish the earth with godly children. They'll grow up to be godly adults and have a godly life. And they'll raise godly children one day more than likely also. Children need a Christian home that's centered around God, that's focused upon God, worships God, fellowships with God, and realizes their dependence upon God and God's blessings. But also, not only the origin and the oneness and the opportunity of the Christian home, but the opposition of the Christian home. You better know in this life that there's a real devil. Eve found that out. Adam and Eve found that out real soon. As the devil came in with his deception and he tries to use unbelief and rebellion and get people to turn upon God, and he's alive and well and working today in that area of people's lives. And so you better know, if you're going to have a Christian home, you're going to have a battle on your hands. You're going to have to fight the devil. But I'm glad that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The devil don't have to have victory over you and over your home. You can have victory in your life and in your home. The crowning event of God's creation was man and woman in that very first home. That was the crowning event. When God spoke things into existence, I think it was 6 times He said it was good. But when He created man and woman, He said it was very good. So God's very interested in the Christian home and the things that goes on in the home. The entrance of the Christian home. But notice this, the encampment of the Christian home. What do you mean by encampment? By saying the encampment of the Christian home, I mean it's a temporary resting place on a journey. This life is a journey. We go through it day by day. And somewhere out in the future, our journey will be over. And it's so important, as while we're in this encampment of the home, this temporary resting place on our journey, that we get some things right. Because our influence upon our friends, on our family, those around us day by day, they are watching. And there's so many things that we can produce in our encampment here to help and encourage somebody else. And especially children. First of all, I want you to notice it should be a place of enjoyment. The home should be a place of love. It should be a place of peace and of refuge, of rest. It should be a place where, you know, if you go out to work all day and ladies and daddies and you have a place you call home, you ought to have a place in your heart to look forward to getting home at the end of the day. And a place where you love one another and encourage one another. Amen? Home shouldn't be a place where a man and a woman comes together fussing and a fighting and a cussing. Yeah, man. You know, we live in a day where there's so much stress on families. There's so much going on. There's so much pressure on a person to make a living. We set our goals so high in life. And it puts us under stress. Amen. And we come home with a fuse already lit and a gun with a hair trigger. And before you know it, there's a fight breaks out. Fussing and a fighting going on. And God didn't intend for the home to be like that. God wants the home to be a loving place. I've seen children before when I was growing up. I had friends that dreaded going home because mom and daddy were going to be fighting. That's a sad thing to say, ain't it? A man ought to look forward to going home to his wife. Wife ought to look forward to going home to her husband. Children ought to look forward to going home to parents. It ought to be a place of peace and of love and a place of refuge for all of us. Amen? Secondly, a place of enjoyment, but a place of encouragement. Instilling and inspiring hope and happiness in one another, and especially in children. it's so important of what we're doing in our home of, in a place of encouragement. Children grow up so quick, don't they? They do. And you can be such an influence in that child's life and in that child's future by encouraging them. You don't discourage a child. Unless they're doing wrong, you discourage them then. But you ought to encourage them. I mean, an education is good. And things positive in a child's life. It's just important that they gain that in a home. And so, it ought not be a place, as I said, of discouragement, but of encouragement. Children are so dependent upon, of home, a loving place, because it's a learning place from them. You ever heard the old saying, like father, like son? Like mother, like daughter? Boy, that goes a long ways in a home. Daddies, your children are watching you. Mamas, your children are watching you. And more than likely, if you got an unhappy home, if where you always fussing and fighting and doing things, setting that kind of an example before a child, more than likely they're going to be that way when they get grown. If your daddy was always fussing and a cussing, more than likely you'll be. If your mama was always grumbling and a griping, young ladies, that's probably what you'll do one day. So it's so important for us to get this right. Home is to be a place of encouragement for our children. Not only are they developing and they're growing and learning from you, but they need discipline. Discipline. It's all right to discipline your child. I think it's biblical. And I believe God demands it. My mama was real patriotic. She believed in the stars and the stripes. When I was a little boy, we had a peach tree out in the yard. She'd get a hickory about big around your little finger. She'd grab you by the left arm. And she'd come around, she'd put stripes on you till you saw the stars. Remember one time me and my sister, I was preschool age, but Mama, she'd tear you up in a heartbeat. We got into something, and here comes Mama with a hickory. We go running out to the whale house, and we climb way up on the whale house where she couldn't reach us. We thought we safe now. Mama looked up and said, "I'll get you when you come down." Well, we sat up there for a while and a while and a while. We decided we didn't want to spend the rest of our life on the whale house. So we come down and we took our medicine. And it was still waiting on us. And kids need discipline. Kids have got, we're born rebels. And we have to be disciplined. We have to be taught right from wrong. And so I encourage you, develop your child with love, laughter, discipline, whatever they need. Ask God to help you in raising your children, and He will. Not only is the encampment of the Christian home a place of enjoyment and encouragement, but it's a place of evangelism. Listen to me carefully this morning, mamas and daddies, grandparents. Evangelism in the home is one of the most important things that can take place within your house. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the number one goal of parents. Shouldn't be your kids' popularity. It shouldn't be your kids' prosperity. Shouldn't be that your kids have great possessions. But the number one priority for mama and daddy to have for a child is the salvation of that child's soul. Before they leave your home, as you raise them up and you have them for just such a short time, it's so important to have a Christian home to raise that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and let them see what's most important in their life. because they're going to spend eternity somewhere one day. And it's laid upon you, Mama and Daddy, to be an evangelist to that child. Do everything you can. Get all the God you can in them. And set that example. Set that example of faithfulness before your child. Pray for them. Pray with them. Be faithful to church. Have them in church and do everything you can. That number one priority is to see the salvation of that child. Eternity. Something I can't even comprehend within my mind. But we're all heading towards eternity, ain't we? Now listen. The world wants to take your children. Listen to me carefully now. The world and the devil wants your children. Don't let the world raise your child. Don't let TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter raise your child. I saw a thing on TV last night where a teenager now is spending 6 to 9 hours a day on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or TikTok or some social media. It ought not to be so. Amen. I know it may not be popular, but you ought to lay some restrictions down on your children. They don't need TikTok. Their mind is developing. It's not fully developed until you get on up into your 20s. And so it's a perfect place for the devil to brainwash them and to put all this junk into their minds. You're going to have to be bold. Sometimes you're just going to have to learn how to say no. Amen. If you love them, do it. Amen. And so, it's not the school system's job. It's not your teacher's job to raise your child. It's not even Sunday school teacher's job to raise your child. It's your job. God give them to you. And so it's up to you to do what's right. The entrance of the home, the encampment of the home, but last of this, the eternal home. Back in Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12, I'll close with this. In Ecclesiastes, because man goeth to his long home. Because man goeth to his long home. I wonder this morning, as I read that verse right there, where's your final destination going to be? I've tried to lay a groundwork or a focus upon a Christian home. But are you a Christian? Have you been born again? Are you saved? Do you know that you know that you know that you belong to Him and that Christ belongs to you? This, as he mentions this verse right here, he doesn't say heaven or hell. But that's the reality this morning. Each one of us here is going to spend an eternity either in heaven or hell. As I said before, that decision is ours. The final destination of our soul, heaven, the home of the saved, the home of the church of the living God. Those have been blood-bought, born again into the family of God. There's the facts of heaven. Jesus told His disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The facts of heaven and the things that heaven's going to fix. I mean, why would you not choose heaven over hell? Heaven, a place of eternal happiness and joy and peace and love and no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain. Everything is perfect in this place that God has prepared. It's a place of family. Everybody probably in this building right here this morning has got some family that's gone on. But there'll be a glad reunion day one day in heaven. I wonder this morning, are you going to be there? Hell. Eternal home of the damned. All those that have said no to Christ. all the God-haters, the Christ-rejectors that have shunned the gospel, hell will be their home. A place of weeping and wailing, a place where the fire is never quenched. It's going to be a place of eternal darkness. It'll be a place where the devil and demons of this world will be one day. It's a place of eternal separation from God. You know, the weeping and wailing that's going on in hell today, that'll be the sounds for all eternity upon a lost person's ears. Oh, crying out for one more chance. But on deaf ears, God won't hear. The memories. There'll be memories in hell. I believe lost people will remember every sermon they ever heard. I believe they'll remember every opportunity they ever had. Over in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 16, there was a rich man that died and he lifted his eyes in hell. He saw that there was no hope for him as he begged for a drop of water for his tongue as he was tormented in the flames. He asked Abraham to send Lazarus back to his five brethren to testify to them that they'd not come to that dreadful place. Hell's real. Hell's a real place. And the decision is up to mankind. We live in the day and age of grace. Opportunity of salvation is upon mankind right now. Stand around the house with me. I'm through preaching this morning. Can I ask you a question this morning? Where are you going to spend eternity?